Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Grace Church of Glendora. My name is John. I'm the lead pastor here at Grace Church, and I'm so thankful that you're with us today. Whether you're a regular part of our church family, or a friend has invited you, or sent you a link, or you stumbled on us online, whatever the case, God brought you here to listen and participate with us this morning via our online services. And I'm here in my home in Glendora. And so regardless of where you're watching, maybe you're in a different part of the world, I know that God has something special for each of us today. So thank you and welcome. This is kind of our greeting time in the service. We've sung a little bit, and now let's greet one another. The best way you can do that is to get online, regardless of what platform you're on, whether you're on the Facebook live feed or you're on our YouTube channel, and just let us know that you're there. This is a way for us to engage with you. Our entire pastoral team is online as well, and we want to be sure to greet you, welcome you, thank you for joining us. If there are some specific prayer requests that you have, would you write those in the comments? And one of our pastoral team or our prayer team or our counseling team will pay attention to those and message you personally or get a hold of you, and let's work together in seeing how God can provide your needs. God is faithful. He is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So, some of you haven't let us know that you're here yet. That's not cool. Come on, get on. Give me a little thumbs up or a little emoji of some kind and let us know that you're here today. I've got my coffee all ready to go. You're hopefully relaxed. You're going to need your Bible this morning. So, take a moment and go grab your Bible. And maybe would you do me a favor too and kind of turn off all the other things that might be going on in your home. And let's just focus for the next 30 minutes or so with as least distractions as possible. I know it's difficult with when you're in your home, you got a lot of different things going on, but let's focus for a few moments around God's Word. Before we open up our Bibles, I want to give you a few little updates. I'm going to read a couple emails that have been sent me, just kind of good news from the front lines, so to speak, of what God is doing. This one came in early in the week from a family member that goes to Grace Church, and she says this: I live at the beginning of a dead-end street, and yesterday a neighbor came by and said that they were going to have a small service at the end of the street to bring the residences together in these troubling times. The meeting was today, Sunday, at 9 a.m. We met in the street, keeping our social distances. We sang a couple of short hymns. The leader read some Bible verses and we prayed, and the service lasted about 30 minutes. This was last Sunday on their street. And I'm passing this idea on to bring kind of family and friends together. I thought that was really great. Like, somebody already had kind of thought ahead and gathered people in their cul-de-sac and kept their social distances, sang a couple songs, gave a little word and prayed. And wow, very, very powerful. Here's another email that I got early in the week from last Sunday. Thank you, John, for the message from last Sunday. I sent it off to my son. I'm praying that he will watch it and be helped and encouraged and hopefully come to faith in Jesus Christ. I really thought the approach that God gave us was just what we all needed right now. I was grateful to be reminded to keep my eyes on Jesus and not my human circumstances. God bless you and your service to Him, and God bless our Grace family. So, so great. We launched a compassion team last week as well, invited those of you who were available and able to take things, specific needs, and deliver them to different places. And so here's a report back from our compassion ambassador team. They were checking on an elderly lady. She lives alone and in her 80s, and has some severe physical conditions, and she needed some help. And we got her in touch with somebody on the compassion team, and then came back and checked up on her later. And this is what she said. We asked her, did you get a phone call? Are your needs being met? And she said, more than a phone call, several phone calls, plus two people shopping for items that I needed. She said, what kind of church are we running? This is too good to be true, she says. So praise God for that. Just some good news from the front line. God's doing some remarkable things. And I want to just, before we kind of get into the scripture today, I want to invite you again to join one of these teams, our online ambassador team. These are folks that are just committed to sharing these online services with their friends and their family. And we have some other creative things that we're going to be trying to do online. So if you're kind of techie and you want to join that online ambassador team, actually everybody can do this, to be real honest with you. And I want to invite you again to think about those people that God supernaturally and strategically placed in your life that might benefit from being a part of this online experience. It's really remarkable, family, how the gospel right now is being spoken into homes that otherwise maybe it wouldn't have been spoken into. And God's already using this the situation that we're in to expand his kingdom. And so if you want to join that online ambassador team, you don't need to be equipped for that. You just need to take the link once we post it up, send it out with a prayer to people that you know might be encouraged by the message. And then we also had a phone call ambassador team. We're making our way through our entire church family just to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, we love you. How can I pray for you? Lots of amazing things are going on there. We continue to need your help with that. So would you be willing to make some phone calls to just call people, check on them, pray with them, let them know that we care about them and see if there's any needs they might have? I got a phone call this week. It was so great. Loved it. And a prayer, a text message prayer for me personally. It was so encouraging for that. And so we gotta be together in this and praying for one another. So if you want to join that phone call ambassador team, that'd be great. And then, as I already mentioned, we have a compassion ambassador team. These are folks that you might have the ability and availability to deliver groceries, deliver medication, things like that. To people who are in need. So three teams for you to join. I want to just encourage you. Don't sit back. Engage with one another. Love one another. This is part of the body of Christ, just serving each other. And usually it's in times of crisis and change that we're forced to turn to God and pay more attention to others and pray more and read God's word more and just to be more Christ-like. And we want to live into that again right now. So join in and in participating and serving one another. Now, okay, one last chance. Come on, get online. Let us know that you're there. Say welcome to somebody as we open our Bibles. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to open them to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Somebody said to me recently, you may not have been exposed to the COVID-19 virus, but the COVID-19 virus has exposed us all. And that's actually what I want to talk about for the next several weeks. Not about the coronavirus, but about what it's exposed in all of us. Things that God wants us to learn and to respond to and change and even evaluate and assess in our lives. Trials, they are an opportunity for us to grow deeper and stronger in our faith and in our relationship with one another. So what can we learn from this? And again, this isn't going to be the last trial that we encounter. So we want to learn from it so that we can run to Christ again and fall into his arms and just grow our faith deeper and wider in him. And there's a lot of biblical stories, biblical characters that went through trials and tribulations and they learned something about God, and we discover some real truths in how God used these things in their life to deepen their faith. And so over the course of the next several weeks, I'm going to look at some of these biblical characters and just ask God to speak through their experience and through their story into our lives. People like David, who found himself, you know, running out in the desert and had already been anointed king to be the king, the future king, but found himself a kind of a fugitive in isolation. Maybe look at Daniel and what it meant for him to be exiled, and maybe even talk a little bit about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they responded to the crisis that was in their life. We may even dip into the Exodus and the children of Israel, and there's something powerful about what God did in the life of the nation of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness and the kinds of things that surfaced in them, you know, while they were away from the comforts of Egypt. So what I want to do is, over the course of these next several weeks, I want to look at those biblical characters and just ask God to speak to us. You know, even the disciples, I think about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came up and how they reacted to that storm instead of responding, and how calm Jesus was in the midst of that storm. So we're going to look at those. But today, what I want to do today is set a framework into which we can place all those other stories. And I think James gives us a wonderful framework right here in James chapter 1. So open your Bibles to James chapter 1. James was the half-brother of Jesus, which, when you kind of think about this, it's actually pretty remarkable to think that he was born and raised in the same home with the same mom and dad that Jesus was. And to kind of think about how he lived in the shadows of Jesus. It's just hard for me to get my head around that. Scripture seems to indicate that James didn't really believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the death, burial, and resurrection. And he actually takes on a pretty significant role in the early church. And we discover in James chapter 1, so let's just read the first verse, just to set the context. James, Bible's open, come on, get your Bibles open. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So I like this word scattered. I'm going to kind of anchor some of our teaching in this word scattered. A lot of us feel scattered right now. Though we're kind of isolated, we kind of scattered from all of our gatherings places into other little places. And the word scattering is an interesting word. Even in Scripture, we see that God sometimes scatters his people for an intentional purpose. Other times we get scattered because of persecution. Here James is just saying he's writing to people who were scattered among the nations. A little bit of historical background, a closer look at the recipients of this letter, and we discover that they were refugees. They've suffered a lot of loss in their homes and their homeland, and they've lost a lot of their possessions, and they're being persecuted, and they're scattered. They're feeling a bit lost. They're feeling uncertain, maybe even wondering, like, what's really going on. And what I want to do today is, I think James gives us a great framework to think about our trials. Now obviously we're in a specific trial right now, but I don't want to make this about the coronavirus. In fact, I'm kind of tired, honestly, of listening to all the things about coronavirus. I'm amazed at how many companies out there all of a sudden are concerned about me at a different level because of the coronavirus. No disrespect to any of them. It's just sort of odd that Verizon is really concerned about my health now. But no worries. I don't want to necessarily make this about the coronavirus. I want to kind of zoom out a tiny bit and just talk about trials, whether it's this trial or another trial that's going to come down the pike, or a trial that you've been through in the past. What is it that God wants us to teach us? And what's his purpose in bringing these trials or allowing these trials into our lives? So James gives us a great framework, and that's all I want to do today, is just set the framework up. And then in the weeks to follow, we'll put some stories in this framework, and we'll put our story in this framework, and ask God to accomplish in us everything that he wants to accomplish. So here's the framework. It's just two verses today, just James 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. 2-4, okay? So let's read the passage, read these verses, and then we'll kind of break them down a little bit. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So this is the framework. Now, God, would you guide my thoughts now and speak through my vocal cords into the living rooms and back porches and cars or wherever this broadcast is finding its way. And we pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would set in place a framework for us to learn more about you and how you desire for us to respond to these trials in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I see just two things here. One is that we can draw, two things that we can draw from this passage and how it relates to our life when we face trials. Number one, there's a radical attitude when it comes to trials that James is setting down. And we've touched on this a tiny bit last Sunday, and it's radical, and it can almost seem a tiny bit insensitive as well, but I don't think James means it to be insensitive. But the radical attitude is that, look at their first couple words of verse 2, consider it pure joy. The word consider means to think, to count, to regard something based on weighing or comparing of facts. It's a word in the Greek that describes a deliberate and careful judgment stemming from external proof, not a subjective judgment based on feelings. So when we're faced with a trial, we must make a decision of the will every time. Now, this isn't to say that we bury our feelings or we stuff them under the carpet or we deny them. I don't think in any way, shape, or form James is suggesting that we don't recognize that we are created to feel. In fact, I think he's writing this because he recognizes and understands that most of the time when we're in a trial, we have deep emotion and deep feeling. And because of that, James is saying, listen, you've got to think about how you're going to respond to this trial. You have to consider it. You have to calculate it. Otherwise, you'll allow your emotions to set the trajectory of your response. So I think actually James recognizes that we are emotive beings. As human beings, we're created in the image of God. And in part, that means that we feel deeply. And we have lots of feelings right now in this crisis. We're feeling isolated. We're feeling stressed. We're feeling overwhelmed. I'm receiving text messages and emails from people that are just, they're expressing deep feelings of anxiety related to what this trial is looking like in their own life. So James isn't saying don't feel. In fact, I would highly encourage you to find a safe place to talk about your emotions. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you have a younger child in particular, it's really important that you take a moment and ask your child, how are you feeling? And then let them respond. Let them express how they're feeling. But James here knows that if we allow our feelings to direct the trajectory of how we respond, we're just going to end up potentially spiraling down. So he starts by saying, listen, consider it all joy. Take heart when you're feeling overwhelmed at times. It happens to all of us. The Bible is full of examples, particularly in the Psalms, of the people of God expressing how they're overwhelmed and in the pit. And so God loves to hear how you're feeling. Right? So James is not suggesting that we just kind of put our happy face on and deny the reality of our feelings. He is saying that when we're in a trial, we need to engage our mind, our will, our brain, and we need to make a decision to think about this trial positively because there's a positive purpose to it. How do we do that, right? How do we adopt this radical attitude of joy in the midst of a trial? A couple things I want to point out. Number one, don't be surprised by trials. Notice in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. In other words, James doesn't say if you? Encounter trials, James says, when you consider, when you encounter trials. It's not an option. It's kind of a requirement of life. It's all of us are going to face some kind of trial at some point. Peter reminds us of this same truth in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He says this, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." This is just a part of life, and we should expect trials as a part of our life, and we should not be surprised by them, right? And if we know this to be true, if we know that trials are going to come into our life, then we can actually prepare for them. We can anticipate them by grounding ourselves in God's word and staying connected with other believers. I was thinking about this aspect of James' framework this week, and Psalm 1 just kind of came to my mind, and I ended up going to Psalm 1 and just reading this psalm over and over again. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." That is the person, the psalmist says, that is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Such a great reminder that when trials come, we should anticipate them. And anytime you anticipate something, it gives you an opportunity to prepare for it. And so here we are in a trial, and this will not be the last trial. There'll be another trial in your life, and you may be facing one specific one right now. We have a family in our church that just desperately needs to move to a different living situation. It's not safe where they're at, and so they're in a real trial right now, and that's going to hopefully resolve itself, but that won't be the only trial. And we all have trials in our life. And to anticipate them means that we need to and can have an opportunity to prepare for them. So James is just saying, hey, listen, when you think about your life, there's a framework here that you have to consider. And you can consider it all joy because you can anticipate that trials are going to be coming. And so you prepare for them. Number two, remember that joy in trials is not natural. It's actually supernatural. It's not natural to be joyful when a trial comes into your life. Our response to trials as believers in Jesus Christ actually is what distinguishes us from the rest of the world and what attracts the unbeliever to Christ. Right? We grieve loss, but we grieve loss with hope. We respond to adversity with confidence in God. Paul says it this way, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." So, and this is not, you know, this isn't like a natural optimism. You know, some of us just, we always look at the glass half full. We're kind of Tigger instead of Eeyore. That's not what this is. This is a spiritual and supernatural indwelling of God's presence inside of me that settles me when I am afraid, calms me when I am anxious, assures me when I am uncertain, strengthens me when I am weak. James says, it doesn't start with your emotions. It starts with considering who you are in Christ. This is so good. This is so important. And this is the framework that James is setting down. Consider it all joy. Well, how am I supposed to consider it all joy? Well, you're to understand that trials are going to come in your life. And they'll come not just one time, but multiple times over the course of your entire life. And secondly, then you can anticipate those. And in anticipate those, you remember that your response, your natural response, is going to be stressed and to be anxious and to worry. But your supernatural divine response, because the presence of God is inside of you, can be a sense of confidence and calmness and strength because you are in Christ. You have been sealed into his family. And so there is nothing you can do to run so far away that his love and protection and guidance and power and blessing is not covering you. So remember that joy in trials is not a natural response, it's a supernatural response. And thirdly, I might just point out, it's a choice that you have to make every day. And here's the choice. Will I trust God and His promises or not? Will I trust Him or won't I trust Him? Am I going to lean on my own understanding or am I going to lean on His understanding? Anyone can say, oh, I trust God. But until your faith is tested, until your belief is tested, until your trust is tested, we don't really know if it's genuine or not. And that, of course, is one of the consistent themes that James is going to bring up in this letter. James probably isn't the best counselor to come into your hospital bed. He wants to just get straight down to the truth really quickly. So it's a choice we have to make, and James is saying you have to make a choice. Some of you might be wondering if the trial you're facing is a punishment from God, or if God sent it, or did God just allow it? And honestly, you know, people have been asking me a little bit like, you know, how does this current situation maybe play into the larger end times thing? And I don't honestly know that anybody can really answer that with that much confidence. I mean, we might be able to guess at what this is, but no one can answer that. But here's what we do know. What we do know is that God will use it to test your faith, to grow your faith, to draw you closer to Him, to make you become and be transformed more like Jesus. At Christmas time, I bought a jacket, it's kind of a nice jacket from REI. And it's a water-resistant jacket, and it's a really comfortable jacket, and I love it. And the tag says that it's water-resistant. But the fact of the matter is until I get out in the rain and test it, I won't really know if it's genuinely water resistant or not. And it's rained a couple times and I was able to go out and test it. And now I can say, well, that's a good jacket. That's a good jacket. So I can actually expect rain to come. And this in part is what James is saying. Consider it all joy. This is a specific, intentional decision I make to count, to consider, to calculate my response to a trial is going to be joy. In my own self, I cannot possibly do that. But because of the power of Christ inside of me, I can make a decision every day that whatever comes my way, whatever emotion comes my way, whatever challenge comes my way, whatever difficulty comes my way, whatever trial comes my way, I have the capacity inside of me, because of the power of Christ dwells inside of me, I have the capacity to respond with joy. I can anticipate that trials are going to come. I have to make a choice every day to do this. And what's the result of this then, right? What's the result? Like, why would I want to engage in this kind of framework when it comes to trials? Well, look at verse 4. Verse 3, but because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, right? So there's a purpose in this trial. There's a purpose for every trial, by the way. God has a purpose for every trial that comes into your life. And this is it right here. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then he says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So this is the purpose, James says, of our testing. And the purpose of our testing, it goes beyond just seeing if your faith is genuine. Like, that's the first aspect of the test. When a trial comes into your life, God says, listen, that is a test to see if you're going to trust me, if you're going to run to me, if you're going to depend on me, if you're going to look to me, or you're going to trust in yourself, you're going to worry about yourself, and you're going to try and do everything on your own strength. That's the first purpose of a trial, to test your genuineness. But there's a second aspect to your trial and the purpose of your trial. And that's what James is getting at here. James says, listen, there's a test, there's a purpose that goes beyond just seeing if your faith is genuine. And this, I think, maybe is the deeper purpose, James says, is it's endurance, it's perseverance. God will use the trials in your life and in my life to test your faith and to produce endurance in you. What is endurance? I think the best way that I've kind of sat with this week and come to the conclusion to express it to you is that endurance in the spiritual world is a kind of spiritual toughness. I love that. Spiritual toughness. When I think about people in my life that have developed this, I think the first person that came to my mind is my grandfather, my father's father, who spent 50 plus years of his life as a missionary in Central Africa. And there was a book written about his ministry and his life called Adventure for God. And it's really just a remarkable story. And I remember growing up and going and visiting my grandpa. But it wasn't till later on in life that I read a little bit more about his life. And I discovered the spiritual toughness that this man demonstrated in his life. And it was because with every trial, with every obstacle, with every test, he leaned into it, discovered and experienced the power and presence of God in that trial, in that test, tested his faith was genuine. But with every test, he became more confident in God's power and less confident in himself. People with spiritual toughness, it's not that they're smarter or better or stronger than anybody else. They just, every trial that comes along and their faith is tested, it comes genuine, and they learn to depend on and to lean on the power and presence of Christ in their life. And then when the next test comes, they already have that previous experience to draw from, and so they are able to lean into this test as well. I heard this on the phone this week when I was calling some of our family members at Grace, having a conversation with an older saint. Haha, you know who you are. It's a great conversation. And after I hung up from that phone call, I thought, man, that's an individual that has demonstrated his faith has been tested multiple times over the course of his life, and his faith has resulted in his faith being genuine. And as a result of each of those tests and those trials that have come down, he has developed endurance, perseverance, toughness. And so when you talk to people like this, you understand they're not stressed. They're not worried. And it's not that they're being cavalier or somehow casual about it. They just have this deep sense that God is in control. My father is like this. My own father is like this. I've talked with him just a couple times, and he's not worried at all. I mean, he's not in the least bit worried. And I don't think that's being irresponsible or just not engaging. I just think he knows that God is in control. He knows that God has been faithful in the past. He's come up against multiple obstacles and multiple tests and multiple trials, and he's seen God work in miraculous ways in his own life, small ways, big ways, medium ways. And so here comes another trial, and the trial drops down into his world, and he's able to consider it all joy. Why? Because his faith has already been tested. And this is the beauty. This is why it's really important, family, that we gather with other people that have, whose faith is just deeper and wider. They're just farther down the road than some of us. And James says, listen, the purpose that God has for this trial in your life, whether it's a financial trial right now or an employment or a relational issue or an emotional issue or whatever trial it is that you woke up to this morning or you'll wake up to tomorrow or you woke up to this last week, God has a purpose for that. It's to test your faith, right? Put that jacket on, go out in the rain. Let's see if it actually is water resistant. Let's see if you're going to trust in God, in His protection, in His provision, in His presence in your life, or you're going to try and do it all yourself. Like, let's just see. And then as you experience that and you lean into God, it develops this endurance, this perseverance. Oh, this is so good, right? Now, this doesn't mean that, notice in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work. There's some translations there have let endurance or let perseverance finish its work. There's an idea here that it takes time. There's a timeline involved with developing endurance. This, I think, might be the most difficult, one of the more difficult parts of this framework for me personally, to allow the trial to have its way in my life, to give it space to do its work. To not just automatically run away from it. Now, please understand me. I'm not suggesting that James is saying that if you don't have a job or you lost your job, James isn't saying just sit on the couch and let that trial have its complete and full way in your life without doing anything. There's always a partnership. If you've lost your job already, you should be looking for a new job. If you're sick, you should get medicine and call the doctor. Okay? I don't think James in any way is saying this is passive. Letting is not passive. Letting, James is saying, is a way of telling us that God is at work in this trial to refine me and change me and reveal things in me that need to be purified. That's, I think, James' point is there's a purpose for this trial, and it's not just to test your faith. It's to produce endurance. It's to produce strength. It's produce a deeper love for God and for others. And so while you respond and lean on God, there's a process that God's going to take you through to strengthen your spirituality. And that's a process. That's not like a microwave kind of a deal. You can't just, you know, be spiritually weak one day and then spiritually strong the next day. It's a process that we go through. So James says, you got to let this trial, let this this perseverance, it's got to finish its work in us so that we can become more mature and complete and not lacking in anything. So let me ask you a question. My goal today is just to kind of lay the framework down. Let me ask you a question. What has already surfaced in you during these past few days or week that God is wanting you to assess and maybe even make some changes? Like, what is surfacing in you as a result of this trial? You know, when the children of Israel were in the desert, it surfaced some things about them that God had to consistently work on. In fact, we might even say that the Ten Commandments were a response to some of the natural responses to trials and tribulations that the nation of Israel were experiencing. So God gave them the Ten Commandments, right? Number one, thou shalt love the Lord your God, and thou shalt have no other gods except me. Idolatry was a huge issue for the nation of Israel when they got out of their comfort zone and they began to experience this trial. So God, these things surface in us in the testing of our faith. These things surface in us. So what is that? What are the responses that you're having to whatever trial you're going through right now? And how can you begin to consider this trial, to consider it joy? What is God trying to specifically produce in you? How is God wanting this circumstance that you're going through right now to direct you and guide you to His promise, to His love, to His protection, to developing that spiritual toughness in you? Right? Because with every trial that comes into our lives, we have a choice to make. We can lean into our own understanding, Or we can trust God and ask Him to change us and to transform us and to deepen our faith through the trials that we're going through. So this is the framework, James says. Consider it all joy. But let's read the text again. Verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers. Remember, he's writing to people who are scattered, who had lost their homes, lost their belongings, who were feeling disjointed, feeling uncertain about the future, maybe even wondering, like, is God still engaged and was it worth it to follow Christ? So he says, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that there's a purpose to the trial. It's to test your faith and to develop perseverance, endurance. And perseverance, let it have its full work so that it can finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So what we want to do over the course of these next several Sundays is just use this framework that James gives us to think about and even feel about our current trials that we're going through. Now, if you're listening to me right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have a relationship with God, you really kind of have one choice, and that is to lean on your own understanding and to look at this thing only from your own perspective. And right now, I want to invite you and just remind you that we know that God loves when we come to Him and admit that we don't have strength inside of us, we don't have the capacity inside of us on our own to really overcome the things that this world throws at us. And maybe you're listening to this, you know, broadcast right now, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't have a relationship with Him. And so you don't have a place where you can think about this trial that puts it in perspective and you can draw from the power of Christ. And so I want to invite you today to consider that this moment right now, this trial that you're going through right now, God has a purpose in it, and it's to draw you to Him. For some of you who already know Christ, that the purpose of this is to test your faith and to create and develop spiritual toughness. But for others of you who have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps this trial is God's way of calling you to faith in Him. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you placed your life in His hands? The creator and sustainer of this world who loves you so, so deeply that He made a way for you to be forgiven and to be a part of His family. Somebody pointed out to me earlier this week that there was a virus that came and came into the world way back at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and the virus is called sin. And it infected Adam and Eve, and there's only one cure for the virus of sin, and that is to receive the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. So I want to invite all of you right now just to stop, just to bow your heads and to close your eyes and allow me to pray a prayer for us as we finish up our service right now. Just everybody, right? I know it might be awkward, but Stop what you're doing if you're doing something else, and just close your eyes and settle yourself and allow me to pray this prayer. If you're listening to my voice and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you right now to ask God for forgiveness, to invite Him to come into your life. There's a simple, simple way to do this. God loves you, and He desperately wants to become a part of your life. So if you've never invited Jesus into your life, I want to invite you to pray this prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open up the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. God, I'm so grateful to be able to stand in front of a camera like this and to speak your truth over everyone that's listening. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take these words that James wrote to those who were scattered and give us a framework to respond to and to think about these trials that come into our life. Grow our faith, test it. Grow our endurance, our spiritual toughness, God, through this experience. And we pray that if somebody this morning, God, is listening to my voice and has not yet placed their faith in you, that today would be the day that they invite you into their life, that they're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that they begin to learn the great power and blessing it is to be a part of your family and to love you and to learn to love others the way that you loved them. Thank you for your word. We pray a special blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, thank you so much for joining us today. And again, I want to thank all of you who have dialed in. Maybe a friend sent this link. We're here to serve you. We're here to pray with you. We're here to help you. So as we end our services, I want to remind you to just reach out and let us know how we can pray for you and how we can serve you. And also, if you've not given your tithe and offering, I just want to invite you again to do that. There's three different ways that we can continue to be faithful in that. And I want our church to be positioned in the best possible way to be generous. As needs come up, I want us to be able to respond to them with generosity. And so your gifts right now will enable us to really serve our family and our community in some really generous ways. So again, there are three ways to give. You can give online. You can put your phone up and just put your camera phone up to the QR code that's up on the screen, or write a check and send it in. And we're checking our mail, and we're on our campus to just be sure that everything is safe and going well there. I love you. I pray that God will bless you, that God will keep you. I pray that as we go through this trial, that it will produce a sense of spiritual confidence and toughness, not in ourselves, but in our God who loves us so much. So God bless you. God keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace as you go about your daily life. In Jesus' name.